Good morning. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf. Ches, we're starting from Rabbi Chiya bar Abba on the top of Zion Amud Beis. Gemara is going over some of the basic requirements of a dayan. We talked about yesterday how a dayan has to be informed. It's kind of obvious, but the Gemara mentions yesterday that he has to know halacha. He has to know clearly. If he knows halacha clearly, so then he should say over the halacha, but if he does not know it clearly, so he shouldn't take an educated guess. With that in mind, the Gemara now continues. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yonasan Mehacha, Amar Lach Achma Achotiat, Imbar Lach Adavar Kachoscha Shiasur Lach, Amru V'Yimlav Al Tamruhu. So the Gemara then quotes another statement supporting this as well, which is that if you know the halacha well, so then you should say it, like the knowledge that your sister is asur to you. That's something which is basic. It's a pasuk in Chumash. So just like you know that, so you should also know any other halacha that you are that you are commenting on and paskening on. I'm Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Asar Shiyosh Medin Kol Atola B'Tzavar Kulan. Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi says that if you have 10 people who are Yoshe Medin, if I know it's an odd number. Actually, it's odd because it's even. I understand that, but the point he's making goes like this: that if you have 10 people or Yoshe B'din, so color totally bit suffer. So the noose is hanging around their neck, which basically means that they're all going to be equally liable for the good that they do, and also if they judge incorrectly the bad that they do as well. Kulan. So the Gemara says pshita. The Gemara says now it seems to be obvious. So tzricha elalis l'talmid the Yosef of Nei Rabba. Gemara says no. Of course it's obvious that when you have when you have all the judges presiding over a case, they're all going to be equally liable. The Gemara says where the chiddush comes about is where you have a student, as we learned in yesterday's daf. You have a student who's watching his rebbe in court. Right, basically, you know, a shimush. It's from the student's standpoint, he's observing, he's mentoring, and meanwhile, he sees that his rebbe's making a mistake. So we learned yesterday that if you're witnessing your rebbe in the process of making a mistake, that's now's not the time to be humble, modest, or quiet. Now's the time to speak up. And we quoted the pasuk yesterday, Lo yaguru mimnei ish. Don't be afraid. So understandably, you're going to be a little bit concerned. It's your rebbe. You don't want to correct him, but in the course of judgment, that's when you have to correct them. And now the Gemara is applying the rule of Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, which is that not only do you need to correct them, but you're going to be held responsible if you don't correct them. Continuing in the Gemara, Ravuna ki hava asi dila kamei machnim v'maisi asar rabbanim. When Ravuna would have a case, he would try a case, so he would gather 10 rabbis together, mi bei rab from the yeshiva, arma ki hech delim ta yeshiva mikshura. So I want each of them to shoulder some of the burden of this case, meaning it is an awesome responsibility, as we have been highlighting for these last couple of days in the daf. It's an awesome responsibility to be a judge on a case, and you're going to be held liable for any incorrect ruling, sometimes financially, but always spiritually. So what Rav Huna would do was he would get together a group of chachamim. Again, the number 10, it's an unusual number in the course of adjudicating, but he would get together people, so basically it would help him shoulder the responsibility. Rav Ashi, literally, Shiba Mikshura, so each one would be receiving part of the beam, so to say. Rav Ashi Kavasi Trefasa Kame. Rav Ashi would have a question of tarfus. In other words, the animal may or may not be treif. The Gemara gives us many details and halachas in terms of the determination, the identification of an animal, whether it is a treifa. And so he had to answer this question. Again, it was complex, it was complicated. And the ramifications, if he's right, great. And if he's not right, so people are going to be eating treif. So again, what he would do is he would gather 10 people together, machnif, now he would get the shochtim together. Now shochtim, again, on the spiritual level, so it would help shoulder the psak that he gave. But on the practical level, the shochtim also know hilchas treifas. So I'm gathering that he also gathered together this group of people because they also may help him paskin correctly. Amar ki hecha de limtin shiba mikshura, and again, the same expression. Let them help shoulder some of the beam. Meaning, I'm going to paskin the halacha, I'm going to be responsible for the psak, and I need some help just shouldering this responsibility. Ki asa rav dimi amar darshu rav nachman bar kohen mai dichsiv. The Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he quotes in the name of Rav Nachman Bar Kohen the following pasuk: Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz v'ish trumos yarsena. So a king is going to support the land, establish the land, and a giving person is going to destroy the land. what is pshat in the pasuk. The Gemara goes on to explain. It's from Treyasar. So, if the king is independent, he doesn't need anybody, he is financially independent, that's great. Yamid Aretz. So then, he's going to be able to establish the government, meaning he'll make for a good king, being that he has no dependencies. However, if he's like a Kohen, where basically he's looking for handouts here and here, and if you will, campaign contributions, then now he's indebted to people and he's beholden to people. So then you are sentenced. So then he's going to destroy the government that he's trying to run because of all the people that he's dependent upon. The house of the Nasi appointed a judge who, quite frankly, was not somebody they should have appointed. He was low gamir. He did not have the knowledge base to serve as a judge. So he turns now to the Turgaman of the Reish Lakish and he says, I want you to set up an Amora. Remember, an Amora, we refer to Amorim as any rabbis of the Gemara, but the word Amora in this context means basically a spokesman. So in other words, back then they would have the Talmud Chacham being up there saying a halacha and the Turgaman would broadcast it to the public. So over here, basically they said, set up for this judge a Turgaman. Now again, this was an appointed judge who was not really fit for the appointment. But he's up there with the Amora, Kam Gachan Aleya. So now the Torgamon basically leans over and listens to the words of the Dayan so that he could broadcast it to the people. But because the Dayan was not knowledgeable and he had nothing intelligent to say, so at least, you know, we could credit him with this. He didn't say anything. So it's right, he didn't make anything up. So he just simply remained quiet. So, but still, in other words, you're a Dayan, you're a judge, you're expected to say things which are smart. Now, in this context, I'm not perfectly clear what he was expected to say, meaning who was he talking to, who was his audience. The Gemara doesn't say, but the Gemara is just simply pointing out that it was a point in time where he should have said something intelligent. He had nothing intelligent to say. Pasach v'amar, and so at which point in time. Now, it could be that this is the Torgamon's reaction to basically him not knowing anything, or it could be the Reish Galusa. Either way, the criticism of the appointment of such a judge because he was simply not qualified to serve as a judge. Hoy omer la'etz hakitza uri la'even domeim. Right, try telling to a tree, wake up. Try telling to a stone that's quiet, yeah, let's go. So who yore hine hu tafuz have khasaf khol ruh in bikabo. And meanwhile, of course, they don't have anything in them, and of course they have nothing to say. The asid kash baruch li par ma midam. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be pore, he's going to extract punishment from whom? From the one who appointed the judge. Maybe the judge himself, but in other words, the bigger chiddush is that the one who appointed the judge is going to be held responsible for this kind of appointment. Shenamah, the pasuk says, Vashem Heichal Kacho, Has Mi Panav Kol Aretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu from Heichal Kacho is going to be upset. Appointing a judge that is not fit to serve as a judge is tantamount to planting an Asherah tree. An Asherah tree is a tree dedicated to Avodah Zarah. We'll see in the third perek of Sukkah, right? The Asherah tree, which is pasul for the lulav because it's Avodah Zarah. Kesuse Mechta Shira, the Gemara over there says. Anyway, the Gemara over here says that the appointment of an unworthy judge is like planting the Asherah tree. Shenamar Shoftim B'Shoshan Titein Lach, the pasuk says that you're going to appoint judges. Usmech Lelos Ita Lecha Asherah Kol Eitz. And then, just a couple of psukim later in Parsha Shoftim, the Torah talks about the Asherah. What's the juxtaposition? The Gemara here explains the juxtaposition is that if you appoint a judge that's unworthy, it is tantamount to planting an Asherah. Now, let's say you compounded your error. You appointed a judge that's not fit, and furthermore, there were excellent candidates. There were Talmidei Chachamim in the town, and you bypassed them, so you had candidates from which to choose from, and then you decided to go, you know what? I know he's not worthy, but he's a good friend, whatever, and you appointed somebody who's unworthy. So there, you compounded the error. It's like planting the Asherah right next to the Mizbeach. Obviously, in the analogy, the unworthy judge is the Asherah, and the Talmud Chacham, who you bypassed over, so that's the Mizbeach. Shenemar Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha, Just reading through the psukim in Parsha Shoftim, it says the Asher is right next to the Mizbech. K'siv lo sasuni tielo, hei chesev elo hei zahav. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to make idols of gold and silver. And the Gemara says, I don't understand why specifically these materials. Elohei chesev, elohei zavud, elohei abdei ha-dei sharei. And what? And you're allowed to make a wood idol? Obviously not. So I'm Ravashi, Eloha haba b'shvil kesef. The word Eloha over here could be understood as a judge. Remember? Beginning of the Masechta. We said Elohim is a reference, could be a reference to a judge. Right? The requirement for three judges comes from the repetition of the word Elohim three times. So in this context, Elohe could be understood as a judge, and it could be understood like this. How did he become a judge? Through gold. Meaning bribery. How did he become a judge? Through silver. Bribery. So Eloha haba b'shvil kesef, Eloha haba b'shvil zahav. Rav ki hava asale beidina mar hachi. Now, right when he would go to court, so he would say the following. Basically, it was a tefillah with the understanding of how awesome a responsibility it is to be a judge and serve in the court. So he starts off by saying as follows, that I'm going out with the possibility that I will be liable to the death penalty. Remember, we said just yesterday that if a judge rules erroneously, so then he is subject to the death penalty. Not min ha'adam, it's not the capital crime, but in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take his life. Utsvi beisei leis hu avid. And furthermore, I'm going to be going to court, I'm going to be out of my house for a long time, I'm not going to be helping in the house. So in other words, in context, please take me in context. I'm wasting my time right now. It's obviously not a waste of time. It's a mitzvah to be a judge. The Gemara yesterday said that despite its awesome responsibility in nature, you should be a judge if you have the wherewithal to be a judge. But he says, but in other words, not only am I risking my life basically by being a judge, but I'm not home, I'm not helping, so I'm not being productive within the house. Virekala basal aisle. And not only that, but you know when I come home, you know how much money I'm going to have when I come home? Zero. Meaning it's a non-paying job. And the best I can hope for is that I go home in the same condition that I left here for work. So in other words, I left here for work, I'm not Chayv Misa, and the best that I can hope for is that when I go home, I won't be Chayv Misa as well. So it's a thankless job, it's a payless job, and the best case result would be that I go home the same that I came. Okay. Now, again, by the way, it's just, we all understand. Meaning, it's a mitzvah to do so, and there's of course going to be schar mitzvah in doing so. And the Gemara yesterday did not understand how important a job it is. It's just that Rav said this just to understand the nature and the awesomeness of his responsibility, and basically also to give himself a little bit of humility. Meaning, just because I'm a judge, just because I'm serving on the bench, in other words, it's not. don't do it for the credit. So ki havechaze ambua abasrei. Now, when Rav would see a collection of chachamim around him, amar, and basically again another statement that Rav made to just keep himself down, keep himself low and humble, and he would say im yala l'shamayim si'u kigalal netzach yaved. Even if you go up to the heavens, you're going to lose all too quickly. Meaning all this is temporary; it's not permanent. And yes, I, there may be a crowd of people around me right now, but it's not going to last. The Gemara tells another story, very similar. When Marzutra would have a group of people surrounding him on the Shabbos before Yontif, Amar Hachi, he would say the following, quoting another pasuk from Mishle, Kilolam Chosan Vim Nezel Ador Vador. And again, the similar idea that this is not going to last forever. You're not going to be wealthy forever. This is strictly temporary. And I know there's crowds of people around me, but it's not going to last. And don't get too excited. Darsh Bar Kapar Menahem Milsa Dam Rabbanan. So we know that the Chachamim say the following: Have a Mesuna Medin, that a person should be careful when judging. This is the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that when you are a judge and you're presiding over a case, you should be slow, patient, deliberate. And to which the Gemara wants to know, is there a pasuk that supports this as well? Now, they're both, of course, Torah. One is Torah Shabbat, and the other one is Torah Shabbat. And the Gemara over here is just simply looking for a complementary pasuk in Torah Shabbat to highlight this pasuk of Torah Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Dichsiv lo sala b'malos. So the Gemara says, sure, look at the end of Parshas Parshas Yitzro. The Torah there says that when you go up on the Mizbech, don't go up on steps. Now the end of Yitzro goes into the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. And the idea is like this. And now you want to ascend, so you can either use a ramp or you could use steps. Steps are much quicker than a ramp. A ramp is not going to have a steep incline. A ramp is going to have a very small incline. And so therefore it's going to take time if you want to ascend using a ramp. However, if you want to make it quicker, so use steps. So the pasuk is telling us that when you go up the ramp, when you go up to the Mizbeach, don't use steps, but use a ramp. Slow, methodical, deliberate. Same thing when judging a case. Slow, methodical, deliberate. I'm Rabbi Elazar, minayin ledayin shelo yipsal rosha, I'm Kodesh. How do I know that when it comes to a judge, he shouldn't step over the heads of people? The Gemara over here, as Rashi explains, basically has the following visualization. The students who would be sitting and watching the Rebbe, in this case watching the judge, so they would be sitting on the ground. In order for the dayan to go to sit by his seat, so he'd need to walk basically over people in order to get to a seat. The Gemara over here has the imagery of al roshe am, like on the heads of the people. He's obviously not stepping on the heads of the people, but just in other words, from a visualization standpoint, it looks that way. And it's demeaning and basically avoid it. How do you avoid it? So first of all, how do I know that I should avoid it? Again, the juxtaposition of don't step on steps going up. Meaning, basically, don't step on or over people in order to get to your position of being a mishpat, being a judge. Asher tasim, asher talamde. The Gemara continues now to darsh in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. The pasuk says, asher tasim, place it in front of them. What do you mean, place it in front of them? Teach them. So the pasuk really should read, asher talamde. So mi baile. Am Rabbi Yirmiyah, by the way, if you look at Rashi over there on that pasuk, Rashi says, asher tasim means that when you present the halacha, you should present it clearly organized, like a set table. If you look at the Rashi over there, Rashi says the word shochan aruch, right? The halacha should be organized, like as if you were setting a table. Obviously, a term borrowed years later by the author of the shochan aruch when he organizes the halacha, so he refers to it as a shochan aruch because it is organized. So the Gemara says and. But our Gemara is not going to give that answer. The Gemara is going to give a different answer. Why does it say Asher Tasim as opposed to Asher Talamdim? Am Rabbi Yirmiyah Vitema, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Elu Kol HaDayanim. Sorry, Elu Kli HaDayanim. Forgive me. This is a reference. The word Tasim over here is referring to a physical object and specifically tools of the trade. Tools of the trade. What are tools of the trade? If you're a judge, so what exactly are your tools? Ravuna ki avanafik ledina amar hachi afikuli mane chanusai makel uritzua v'shofar v'sandala. So Ravuna, when he would go to work and serve on the court, so he would bring out four things. As far as tools, makel uritzua, he would bring out both a stick and a whip. Why those two things? So Rashi over here, Rashi switches around, but Rashi writes by the ritzua malchus, meaning the whip is for malchus. Meaning, if in the course of the day he has a case where someone violated a negative prohibition and he did so with witnesses, and we went through all the due process that's necessary, and we will be discussing that later in the Masechta, exactly how due process works. But if you go through everything and then he's chayv malchus, so then the judge is going to have the whip. And either the judge, but most probably some sort of shliach beizin, is going to then administer the whipping. Makel, what about a stick? What's a stick for? Next Rashi, makas mardus hashiach zabo. So Rashi says over here, rabbinic lashes. Rabbinic lashes, from Rashi get the impression that the rabbinic lashes are not given with a whip, but they're rather given with a stick. And over here, until what point in time? Until he's chozer. Until he amends. Basically, he says, okay, I'll reform. Please stop hitting me. And shofar, shamta v'nidua, I'm reading Rashi. Shofar is for excommunication. In the event that somebody was given a summons, ignored the summons, so therefore he now is going to be suffering some form of excommunication. So that is, so that's the shofar. And finally, sandal. Why the sandal? You probably would have guessed it. Chalitza. In the event that there's a chalitza procedure that's done in the court, so that's another tool of the trade. four items that the judge goes into court daily. I don't know how many chalitza cases come up, but in other words, he's always prepared. Back to the Gemara. Vatzaveh shoftechem ba'isahi. So I will command your shoftim. Amar Rav Yochanan keneged mako ritzua tehezariz. So what is the commandment over here? Tzivoy always means that you should be careful. You should be really, really meticulous. In what regard? Right. By the way, Rashi points that out. As per the Gemara Kiddushin, kol tzavah lashon zirizu. Anytime the pasuk says the word, the Torah uses the word tzivoy, it means zeros, meaning careful, like really, really conscious. So, I'm reading the Rashi. Meaning, obviously, with enforcement, so you can turn it into a weapon of intimidation. Where basically, you could use it to intimidate people. So, the judges now have this awesome responsibility and the power to enforce and to beat. And what the Torah is telling us is, judges, be careful. That is an awesome responsibility, and don't intimidate people with this responsibility. Shamoa ben achechem ushvatetem. The Torah goes on to describe that you're going to judge. Am Rabbi Chanina Azar LaBeisdin Shelo Yishama Divrei Baldin Konu Shiavo Baldin Chavero. Judges, don't listen to one litigant when the other litigant is not there. That is perfectly inappropriate. But rather, you should wait till both litigants are in the courtroom, and then and only then hear the arguments from each of the litigants. And on top of that, there's another prohibition for the litigants themselves. Meaning litigants, you also have the same responsibility. So let's say you make it to the court before the other litigant. So you say, you know what, now's a great time. Here, judge, let me just share with you some basic information. No details on it, but you're using the opportunity to cozy up to the judge. That's an azara, that's a prohibition for the litigant himself. In other words, then how do we know we have both? Both the requirement of the judge and the litigant not to have real interaction about the case until everyone is present. So the Gemara has the word Shama, and the Gemara can also be pronounced Shema, which means that this is both on the judge who is listening and on the litigant who is causing others to listen. Rav Kahana Ramihacha Lo Sisa Lo Sasi. So the Gemara, Rav Kahana arrives at the same conclusion, just has a different pasuk that arrives at this conclusion. The pasuk says Lo Sisa Shema Shav, that a judge is not allowed to hear a bad report. So in other words, this is a reference to listening to litigation when only one of the litigants is present. And lo sasi, it's the same word, we're just pronouncing it differently, and the litigant himself is not allowed to cause the judge to hear something if the other litigant is not present. Ushvatetem tzedek, and you have to judge righteously. Am Reish Lakish tzedek, tzedek es adin v'achar kach hatcheihu. So the first thing you need to do is make sure that you have everything clear, and then afterwards make a decision. Bein ishu ben achiv, am Rav Yehuda afilo ben bais la'aliyah. If let's say you're doing simple civil law, where you're dividing a house between the first floor and the second floor, so you have to be meticulous in doing so. Don't just simply say, okay, let me see, two floors, first floor, second floor. Okay, you get the first floor, you get the second floor. It's not that simple. It shouldn't be that simple. Meaning that you have to appraise the value. The first floor may not be the same as the second floor. There may need to be a reimbursement done from one awardee to the other awardee to make sure that's a fair division. The Gemara says the judge has to take these things into consideration and has to judge carefully and meticulously. Ben Gero, Am Rav Yehuda, Afilo Ben Tanur LeKirayim. Same thing is true regarding an oven and an oven. Tanur is a larger oven, Kirayim is a smaller oven. And again, when the judge is making a dissolvement and a division of assets between brothers, partners, whatever the case is, again, don't let the judge just simply say, you'll get the big oven, you'll get the small oven, okay, next. In other words, again, the judge has got to be careful when he's making division, making it as equitable as possible. Continuing now, we're in the very bottom of Zayin Amud Beis. So don't show any type of favoritism. Rav Yehuda Amar, Lo Sakireu. So Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that as a judge, you have to not only be impartial, you have to look impartial as well. Meaning it is extraordinarily important that you don't give off any kind of favoritism of one over the other. Even if you think in your head, yeah, of course I'm not going to favor them, but he's a good friend of mine, he's an old friend of mine. Right? Let me say hello. In the courtroom, that's not the time to say hello to somebody. You should be as impartial as possible. Rabbi Elazar Amar Lo Sanachrehu, and Rabbi Elazar says the same thing is true in the other direction. Lo Sakireh, also Lo Sinachreh from the word Nachri, meaning, let's say someone comes into the courtroom who you don't particularly like. Don't show your displeasure at the same time as well. Again, it's the same idea, just in the other direction. Be as impartial as you possibly can. Bottom of the Amud. Ush bezichne de Rav asalaka miladina. So Rav was hosted by a family, and it happens to have been that his host had a court case, and he came into the court. Amar lo lav ush bezichne at. And so now the host said to Rav, "Hi, remember me? I was your host, meaning you stayed by me a bunch of times. So Amar lo in." So Rav says, "Yeah, yes, I know who you are." So Amar le Dina Isle. So now the host says to Rav, "Well, you should know that I'm here because I have a court case, and I just want to know if you would be so kind as to adjudicate over the case." So Pasina lach ledayana. So now as we turn to the top of Ches Amud Aleph, so Rav's response was, "No, I can't judge the case. What are you talking about?" Meaning, you came in here friendly, buddy-buddy, and now you want me to judge the case? Rav says, "I'm puzzled." Now, interesting Rashi over here. It's only two words, but it's certainly an interesting Rashi. Rashi writes on the very top of Ches Amud Aleph, "Pasin alach, shiz kartani tovasach." Because what did you do when you came to court? You reminded me that you were that you hosted me. It sounds like Rashi from Rashi. One can infer from Rashi that had there been no conversation, and in other words, I'm sure Rav remembered, but had there been no conversation, it sounds like Rashi, it would have been fine for Rav to have judged the case. It's by virtue of the fact that when the host came in, he comes in and he says, "Hi, how are you? Remember me? I was your host, and you know, I was so kind to you, I was so good to you." So at that point in time, again, I'm inferring a lot from Rashi, but it certainly sounds that way from Rashi. Only at that point in time is the judge not able to judge the case. But if the information is true, it's just not mentioned before the case, sounds like from Rashi would be okay. Okay. The Amar le-Rav, le-Rav Kahana. Pok dayana chazia dehave kagais be. Rav says to Rav Kahana, Rav says to Rav Kahana, "You now go and you judge the case," meaning I'm disqualified from judging because I feel like I'm too close to one of the litigants. So I lost my impartiality. So therefore, Rav Kahana, who was a student of Rav, was then deputized and commissioned now to be the judge over the case. So And Chazi Davik HaGaizbe. And still, the litigant, meaning this is the one who cozied up to Rav, is still cozying up to Rav, even now as Rav Kahana is serving as the judge over the trial. So Rav Kahana, he didn't want to stand for any of this, basically, you know, banged his gavel and said order in the court. And the Gemara says, Amalei Tzaisa Tzaisa. So Rav Kahana says, "Look, if you listen to me right now, that's great. V'ilom afkin alach Rav Munech. However, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to take Rav away from you." Meaning that I'm going to, Rav will not help you one bit. And as Rashi points out over here, and I'll put you in Cherub. Basically, stop fooling around over here in the court. Stop cozying up to Rav. He's not the judge. I'm the judge. And cozying up to him right now is not going to help you at all. In fact, just the opposite. It's only going to get me more upset. So cut it out. Again, we're going back now to the Psukim. So and the judge is expected to judge cases judiciously and make no distinction between that which is small and that which is big. So, kakatan kagadol tishmon. Amish lakishe chaviv alacha din shel pruta gedin shel mea mana. So the Gemara says that when you're judging a case, don't look at the stakes of what this case is going to involve. Let's say it's small claims, a pruta. That's really small claims. Let's say it's a significant amount of money. the Gemara is teaching us based on the pasuk that as a judge is concerned, each case should be weighed and taken seriously, despite the financial, the numerical outcome of what the case is. Lamai hilchos, so now the Gemara says, let's try to be clear over here. So the Gemara says, is the judge supposed to look into each one of these cases the same? Gemara says, look, I don't need a pasuk. Meaning you're judging a case. What difference does it make what the numerical number is? Now, I would tell you that it makes a difference because of human psychology. Meaning that when you know the stakes are really high, so you're going to be more careful. When you know it's a, you know, it's small claims, what are we talking about? We're talking about a dollar argument? Okay, I make a mistake. We're talking about a dollar. But still, the Gemara doesn't look at it that way. The Gemara says, pashut, it's so obvious that the judge is going to take his job seriously, regardless of what we are the amount that we're arguing over. Elalak dume. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you where it's the Braisa needed to make this point, and that's the following. What order is it that the judges are going to judge the case? The answer is very simple. Make a line. First come, first serve. And so therefore, basically, let's say you see people online and two people are coming into court because they have a dispute over a dollar. The people behind them, they're having a major dispute over thousands of dollars. So you might say to yourself, okay, listen, right? Their case is really big. Your case is tiny. Let them come in front of you. To that, now the Gemara is saying no. First come, first serve. First one in line is going to be served first. Lo sagru mimnei ish. Again, we go back to the pasuk where the Torah says that you should not be afraid of anyone. By the way, this week's parsha. Right, lo sakiru panim kimishpaka katanka gadol tishmon. Lo sagru mimnei ish ki amishpat leilukim. Hu v'adavar asher yikshem mikem tekrivum elai ushmativ. Okay, so we're going to be darshaning a lot of this pasuk. So the Gemara goes on to explain, Ki amishpat lelokim hu, Am Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanin, Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo dayin l'rishayim shenot li mizeh, Mamon menot l'zeh, Shlo kadin, Ela shematrichin, Osi lahachzir mamon labalav. It is not enough that I have these judges who are judging incorrectly, taking money from someone who is innocent, giving it to the one who is really guilty, meaning that the judge should have ruled in the exact opposite way. So he says, oh, that's enough of a headache, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But moreover, now I got to right the wrong. Meaning somehow I have to now manipulate and somehow operate with my, you know, perfect knowledge of the world and somehow get the money back to its principal owner. So the Gemara says to that, that is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quote unquote, another headache. Now again, I say the word headache. You and I both understand. No such thing. It doesn't exist. But again, to the best of our ability of understanding, it serves as another inconvenience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what the pasuk is making reference to. V'adavar sheyikshem mikem. So, Moshe says now to the judges that he appoints, look, you have a case and the case is too difficult for you. Well, that's fine. So then you just bring it to me. Meaning you handle the cases that you can handle and anything that's beyond that, you'll just simply come to me. Am Rabbi Chanin Vitem Rabbi Yoshi Aldavaz and Nash Moshe, to which the Gemara has an opinion that says that Moshe here spoke with arrogance. Now, that's kind of hard to understand. Moshe is persona humility, and it's a little bit difficult to understand over here that it was arrogance. Now, maybe what the Gemara means, and again, I'm suggesting, so you can take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. But maybe over here he wasn't arrogant, and it was perfectly humble. He just gave the perception as if this is like, you know, I'm big man on campus, and any case that's too big, you come to me. Not because he was actually arrogant, but he just gave off that perception. Either way. So the Gemara says, and now we go back to last week's Parsha, and the Gemara says, and what ended up happening? But no Slavchad comes to Moshe, and the Benot Safchet says, what do we do? And Moshe says, you know what? I don't know. Let's go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So basically, as a means of repairing the perception that he gave that I can handle any question, and don't worry, you'll come to me. So therefore, he had the episode of Nosafchad in which he was humbled, so to say. He had to take the question to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Maskev Rav Nachman Yitzchak Miksiva Ashmiachem Vishmativksiv. So the Gemara says, even Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I don't buy that pshat at all. He does not say, you come to me and I'll explain it to you. He says, you come to me and I'll listen. That's all he said. Meaning, I'm not going to have the answer. You'll present the case to me. You don't know what the answer is. Let me listen. Maybe I'll know. Maybe I won't know. He says he doesn't buy the pshat at all. So, e gamirna gamirna velo azlina v'gamirna. So he says, look, if I know the answer, I know the answer. If I don't know the answer, I'll go learn the answer. Okay. So, elokid detanya. So the Gemara says, so, what are we going to do with the pasuk? Meaning, Rav Nachman Yitzchak just simply rejected the pshat that we offered. So the Gemara now is going to give a different pshat. So the Gemara says we have the following brayso. Ruya parshas nachla shi'itishitikasev al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. Look, in terms of nachla, how is Yerusha work? So the truth of the matter is that without the narration of Benot Safchan, Moshe was going to just simply teach us, because that's what he does for Kol HaTorah Kula. So why do we have the narrative together where the halachas of probate law is coupled together with Benot Safchan? El Shazachu Benot Safchan V'nichtach Al Yadan. So the Gemara says it is a zechus for the Benot Safchan, meaning that because they were so interested and careful about keeping the Yerusha of their father within family, so therefore as a result of that, and their love of Eretz Yisrael, so as a result of that, so they were, so to say, they were honored, they were mechubad with a parsha written in their with their name. Ru'uya Haisa. Parshas Mekoshe Shitikasev Ayideh Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Mekoshe Shaitzim, where you have someone's Mechal Shabbos and the person was subject to the death penalty. Now, the truth of the matter is, I'll get to that in just a second. So the truth of the matter is that would have been befitting. In other words, Moshe would have written that down anyway. It's a halacha. It would have been part of the Torah. So why was it written with narration? So the Gemara says, Elishin is chayv mekoshesh v'nichteva al yado. So because mekoshesh himself was chayv misa, so therefore he was, now the word mechubad is not the appropriate word, meaning he was, so to say, embarrassed by having his name coupled together with the parsha. Now when I say his name, note of course that there's no name mentioned over here. He's only described anonymously in the Torah as the mekoshesh eitzim. Now, the Gemara Shabbos does have a debate in terms of whether or not we can identify who he is or not. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that we are allowed to identify him, and Rabbi Akiva, in fact, does identify him in the Gemara and Shabbos. And he says it's none other than Slavchad. Now, in our Gemara, by the way, it actually works out well, meaning the contrast of the Benot Slavchad and the Nachalos, and the Mekoshesh Eitzim and Chilul Shabbos. And the Gemara contrasts these two. And just in terms of if Rabbi Akiva is right, so so we have the Benot Slavchad and we have Slavchad. So it's sort of say it's a nice contrast in our Gemara over here. Mind you, by the way, the Gemara in Shabbos, the Chachamim were not happy with Rabbi Akiva and his identification of the Mekoshesh Eitzim, meaning their position is that the Torah mentioned him anonymously. The Torah obviously wanted to keep him anonymous, and so the Chachamim over there in the Gemara Shabbos is critical of Rabbi Akiva for identifying who he was.
There are other times in the Torah where it's anonymous and we figure out who it is.
Right. But there you could say that, in other words, it wasn't to embarrass. It wasn't as a embarrassment. Over here, obviously, it serves as an embarrassment. Okay, but you're right. And the Gemara says, the one who is obligated, you basically pile the obligation upon him. Again, the Mekoshesh Eitzim got the Parsha attached to his name, and Zechus Ayidei Zakai, and because of the Benot Safchan and their love for Eretz Yisrael and their interest in keeping the land within the family, so they get the Parsha of Nachlos attached to their name. Ksiv. The pasuk says, "Vatzaveh shoftechem beisahi." Uksiv, "Vatzaveh eschem beisahi." Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Simlai, Azar leTzibur shetei emas dayin aleihem. There is not only a mitzvah on the judges; there's a mitzvah on us as well. Us, the public, we have to fear the judges. There's a mitzvah to have yiras hadayan, that we have to have fear and awe and respect for the judges. Vazar leDayin sheisbolas leTzibur. And as far as the dayan is concerned, so he has to suffer and tolerate the people. Meaning, it is a hard job to be a judge. And furthermore, you get to see not the best of people, but unfortunately, you see most often the worst of people. And what the judges are told basically is, judges, deal with it. Meaning, I know it's hard, I know it's difficult, I know you're going to be seeing some really inappropriate behavior done by people, and it's the worst of people, and judges, that's your job. Your job is to deal with it. So, ad kama. So the Gemara says, yeah, can we give some sort of guideline? Meaning, how much are the judges supposed to tolerate and basically, you know, handle and suffer with all the travails of the people? Amar Rabbi Chanan v'Tema Rabbi Shabtai Kasher Yisa Ha'omenes Hayonek. You know, like how a mother takes care of its infant. What's the infant going to do? The infant's gonna relieve itself. It's gonna go to the bathroom, and it's gonna make a mess of itself. And mom's job, clean up. Judges, your job, clean up. People are gonna make a mess of themselves, and that's it's not okay, obviously. But you judges, you have to tolerate. Ksiv ki ata tavo v'ksiv ki ata tavi. So the Gemara goes on to darshan more psukim regarding the judge, the nature of the judge, and basically guidelines of behaviors of the judge. Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar lo Moshe li Yoshua tavitz kenim shabadori mahem. So you together with the zekenim, a meaning. Basically, when Moshe was assigning line of succession to the next generation, so he says to Yehoshua, you and the Zekanim are going to take on the people. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tomakel, V'hach al Kad Kodam. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, no, you know what you do? You take a stick and you beat him over the head. Meaning, beat who over the head? The judges. Meaning, you do not have an executive branch made up of a leader and judges. There is one leader, right? I know in our system of government, we have balance of power. So as far as the Torah is concerned, in terms of the system of leadership, one power, one executive branch, it's the melech, it's the king. The judges are subservient to the king. Toma kava hachal kat kadam. Davar acher. Lador ve'ein shnei dabrin lador. I'm sorry. Echa lador ve'ein shnei dabrin lador. One for the generation, not two for the generation. Okay. Period. Adkan. Okay. That takes us now to the end of the Gemara vis-a-vis the expected behaviors of the judges. We are finally, after some time now, headed back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us how many judges we need for cases. So far in the Mishnah, we really haven't gotten that far in the Mishnah. We're in Daf Ches Amud Aleph. We're a week into the Masechta. We said Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha. We explained that, although much debate about what that meant exactly. Gzeilos V'Chavos B'Shlosha, theft and bodily damage is done in front of three judges. Nezek chazi nezek tashlum mekevah tashlum arba v'chamisha b'shlosha. Okay, we kind of addressed that. That's as far as we got now in the Mishnah. So a week of Gemara, we've covered three lines of Mishnah. That's very good. Now the Gemara, that's excellent. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara starts with a Braisa. Now this Braisa was not in the Mishnah. This Braisa obviously is more discussion of how many judges I need. Zimun b'shlosha. So when we have Zimun, so you need three. My Zimun. Now, in our context, what does that mean? Elam b'bircha zimun. So we're talking about b'bircha zimun, v'atanya zimun, b'bircha zimun, b'shlosha. So the Braisa tells us that for zimun and for b'bircha zimun, you have three. And quite frankly, b'bircha zimun has nothing to do with our topic of discussion. But still, we know from the Braisa that it's not talking about benching. V'chitem a'prusha k'mefarish my zimun, b'bircha zimun. And maybe the Braisa means zimun, and what is that? B'bircha zimun. V'atanya the Gemara says, but again, we know it's not true. We have another Braisa. Zimun b'shlosha, b'bircha zimun. Again, the repetition of shlosha, which we already pointed out in the beginning of the Masechta, clearly is indicative of the fact that these are two different cases. Ella, my zimun, azmune ledina. So zimun over here means hazmana, a summons to court. When the court is putting together a summons, the court needs a panel of three. One judge on his own cannot cannot write up a summons. Ki adam rav hani beit lasa dayan dias vivaz lo shicha de beit dina va'amra mipum dechad lo amr klum. If let's say the shlich based on his only summoning based on the instruction in the order of one judge, that is invalid, that's insignificant. Adam mishmei dekulu until it's said in or in the name of all three. Hani mila below yuma dedina va biyuma dedina leislamba. The Gemara says, but that's only on a day when it is not time for the court to preside. However, on days where it's time for the court to preside, notably Monday and Thursday, those are Yemei Hadin, those are judgment days. So as a result of that, so the court is already in session, and so therefore you can have a summons even by a single judge. The court is already in session. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Tashlum Kefal, when it comes to knasos, when it comes to fines, so you need a panel of three. That takes us now all the way back to the Mishnah. The Gemara discusses very quickly. How many judges do I need for punitive fines? So the Gemara says, that's a funny question. It's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, and not just any Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So what do you ask me a question which really, quite frankly, you know the answer to? So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Of course, I'm not asking how many I need. I know that from the Mishnah. But do you know that by monetary cases, there are opinions that say that one mumcha would be sufficient. But that's monetary cases, that's compensation. By punitive damages, can I have a single expert preside over such a case? My shlosha, the Gemara says, yeah, again, I turn back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says three. Ilem shlosha ejotos hamar avucha davucha mishmei derav afilo asara ebein ejotos psulin ledine knasos ela mumchim v'kamar shlosha. So the Gemara says, no, you cannot have a single judge presiding over cases of knasos. The case of knasos must be adjudicated by mumchin. They have to be experts, they have to be authorized, they have to receive smicha. They're the only judges qualified and fit to judge over cases of knas, of punitive damages. Okay. Let us begin very quickly today the cases of the Mishnah regarding Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra is going to be judged by a court of either 3 or 23. It's a machlokus in the Mishnah. Rav Meir in the Mishnah says that the cases of Ones, Mefate, and Motzi Shemra are going to be judged by 3. And the Chachamim say that Motzi Shemra is going to be judged by a court of 23. Let's remind one another. Motzi Shemra, what happened? What happened was is that after the first night of after the first night immediately after the marriage, the husband goes to court and the husband says that I thought that she was a basula. She told me she was a basula, and in fact she's not a basula, but rather she's a ba'ula. And now he is asserting that if he's right. Now when I say he's right, meaning obviously he does not have the ne'emanus, the credibility, in which she's going to be trying to convict it based on his testimony alone. But in other words, if corroborated by witnesses that she is not a basula, and furthermore, she committed adultery during the period of Kedushin, from Kedushin to Nisuin, where she is a married woman, so then she's going to be put to death. Now, if it's a capital case, obviously, clearly, it's tried in front of a court of 23. However, if it is not a capital case, it's just simply a case where he maligned her, meaning what he was saying is simply not true, so then it is a case of money. It's a kenas, and he has to pay the family 100 shekel. Okay, so is this tried in front of 3 or 23? Well, the answer really is very simple. If it's just a monetary case, 3, and if it's a capital case, 23. But the Mishnah over here presents a debate between Rameir and the Chacham, and Rameir says 3, and the Chachamim say 23. What are they arguing about? We know they certainly agree. If it's money or punitive, 3. If it's capital case, 23. So what's the point of the debate? So let's at least start the discussion right now. So the Gemara says, so this is now going to be our first explanation of the machlokis. So our first pshat offered by Ula is the following. Look, right now, currently, this is the case of Motzi Shema. He is maligning her. But again, he's maligning her if he's telling a lie. It may come out that what he's telling is the truth. So, where do we stand right now? At this juncture, at this point in time, it's just simply a case of malignment. He's going to court and presenting her as a ba'ula. Okay. So right now, this is just a punitive case. But what could happen is the following. It's a court case. I'm embellishing a little bit, please forgive me. The press is there. The press is taking notes. Next day the headlines come out, right? Husband is accusing his wife of being a ba'ula, and witnesses actually know that this is in fact so. And so what the press release is now going to do is that basically going the witnesses to come out. Now, the witnesses really should have come out earlier, that's true, but now that the case made the news, and now that the witnesses may in fact come out. So what Ula is saying now is that although right now in its current state, the case over here is just simply a case of him maligning her, it could very well lead to a capital case. So what the Chachamim's position is, choshishin lalaz. This is something that the court should be concerned about, and therefore, be prepared now. Set up a court of 23 so that if in the event this turns into a capital case, the court would already be prepared. Whereas opposed to Rav Meir will say, look, right now, as the case presents itself right now, this is nothing more than just a case of punitive damages. If it turns into a case where it's a capital case, so then we'll get more judges. But there's no need right now to be prepared for a capital crime, for a capital case. Right now, keep the court at 3, and if it necessitates, we're going to add another 20 judges. That, the Gemara says right now, is one way to understand the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. We will continue tomorrow. The Gemara is going to present tomorrow a number of other different ways of understanding the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim.